This episode of Ticket Ripper is brought to you by A Whole Lot of Eggs. My tummy is on fire. Welcome back. If you're new here, welcome to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. My name, as always, is Ben Jamin, your humble host, the greatest host of all time, coming at you alive and well from somewhere in the southern area of the United States, contiguous in the United States of America. You ever think about the fact that, like, there's all the states that make sense, you know, the parts that are part of our, you know, for the most part, continent, this North America part. But then we got just like Hawaii, and we got Hawaii, which is like very easy to argue that that shouldn't be ours. And then Alaska, which is extremely easy to argue that that shouldn't be ours. Like there's a border between us and that. Like, you're just a chunk of land in Canada that we are like, nah, this is ours. You can't have this. I want to know how that happened and why the Canadians haven't, like, started a war to take back Alaska. What would that look like? Do the Canadians have an army? I'm confused, actually. I don't know. I thought they were just cool. Oh, the cats are fighting. You might hear that a little bit. Yeah. Just some stuff I've been thinking about. How are you, baby? How are you doing? You doing good? Good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, welcome back. You know, this is the way we do it, baby. I've been watching a couple things, mainly stuff on streaming, because I just haven't been getting around to the movie theater lately, which is going to change soon. I have decided that I'm going to move some stuff around, probably get myself an AMCA list pass so that I can watch movies either after work or after, like, church on Sundays. Because all the AMC theaters are further down in center of the city that I'm at, so yeah, it's just tough to, you know, you come home from work and it's like, oh, let's go see a movie, and I'm just like, oh, well, there's a theater across the highway, but, like, it's not AMC, so, like, that ain't it. So we're gonna start watching movies, baby. Don't you dare worry. I'm gonna go try to see A24 has a movie coming out, which I believe already released in Australia, Aussie land. That wasn't Australian. I can't do, there's a lot of accents that I try to do and I somewhat successfully do in certain words, but the only one that I lose every single time is Australian, which I also feel like I'm saying the word Australian wrong. Apparently, like, you're able to tell specifically where somebody is from in the United States just by, like, certain key words that they say. I think it's like the whole soda and pop thing, which, by the way, okay, all right, man, let me get real nice and comfy here before I go into this, because I'm about to get sweaty. It's about to get hot in here. If you say soda, or if you say pop, sorry, instead of soda, what's up with you, man? What's going on here? Okay, like, I understand you're from a different part of the country and all, but, like, pop, I get it, it's got bubbles, but pop? And, like, I don't know if it comes from, like, soda pop. Oh, it's soda pop. Which, if you say soda pop, hey, your 12-year-old ears called, and they want their child words back. Preschool called. It wants you to learn how to speak like an adult. Don't call it soda pop. And don't call it pop, because that's like, oh, yeah, can I get a pop? Somebody comes up to me and says, hey, can I get a pop? Dude, I'm like, I'm just going to sit there and, like I'm going to have a little grin on me. Why are you saying pop for? If you say soda, you're cool. I'm one of the people who says soda. Sometimes I say chelas, which I think I think is a way that I think is a way that people say beer or cervezas in the Hispanic community, I think. I don't know. I heard it one place and I was like, what if we just called all the beverages chelas? So yeah. I'd just be like, oh yeah, man. We get a couple pieces, a couple chelas. I don't know. It could be a word that I completely made up. Honestly, sometimes like there are words that I have completely like made up on my own, and I say it in front of my wife knows this all these little words because I've used them around her and I've explained them around her enough times that over the years, like they just understand what I'm saying. But then I get to social situations with other people, and I'm like, yeah, man, can you pass me that chela? And they're just like, huh? Or sometimes I'll call alcohol al cheesies and be like, yeah, like have a great time. We'll have some al cheesies, you know? We'll get al cheesy. And they're like, what? I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, me no speak English. So yeah. Very interesting. I don't know. I don't know if that's interesting or not, but I wonder if anybody else has that issue. Tweet me at Take a Ripper Pod if you have issues like that where you just find yourself creating words for your own personal enjoyment, spice up your own life. You know, sometimes I find words or I remember words that we used to say, and we just bring it back, you know. A while back, everybody started laughing at me because a while back I started saying dupe, like, oh, you got duped, or oh man, I got duped, or yeah, we're gonna dupe him, which I don't think was the correct usage of that word, but like I started using it a while ago, and everybody was just like, Benji speaks weird, and then it came back recently, so maybe Benji doesn't speak weird, hey man. Maybe Benji's the future. Maybe Benji's a trendsetter. Before, like, I don't even. I soy profeta, okay? Soy profeta. And if you don't know what that means, speak the language, baby. speak the language, baby. I'm a prophet, baby. I'm a prophet, and not in the way of like, oh, I know when, you know, when bad things are gonna happen or good things are gonna happen, and like, you know, the Lord, I know when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is gonna make his ever present return or his ever waited for return. No, sir. The Lord gave me visions, but it's not of useful things. Benjamin, in 2023, the word dupe is gonna make a comeback. You need to start using it in the year 2018. Dude, I was wearing tie-dye before any of you fool stoners started doing it. Which I mean, I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true. But back in middle school, before I got to high school and started learning that, oh, you can't just throw random pieces of your clothes together and hope that it's an outfit. I recently just watched like videos of me when I was younger with my family, and they were absolutely cringe. I wanted to die. But one of the things that I hated the most was my fashion sense was just like non-existent. I don't know. I don't know what I was doing, but on a regular basis, I do remember wearing brown, dark brown, like dookie brown cargo pants with a white and green striped horizontal striped polo. And looking at that combo, I'm like, wow, that's the most horrendous. Like, you got dookie brown and like it was like emerald green stripes. And then to top it all off, sometimes, like, because that was my like Sunday clothes, which, like, did I not have blue jeans and a polo shirt back then? What was I doing? Who let me wear dookie brown cargo pants to church? Dude, and here's the thing about me that you have to know, especially when I was younger, like I think it's got to do something with like my Mexican side that doesn't want to, like I always tell my wife that I'm kind of cheap. Like if I can save money, I will try to in any way possible, like as long as it's not super degrade. Like I'm not going to buy an Android. I'm not an idiot. Okay, I might be cheap, but I'm not stupid. I'm not going to buy an Android just because it's cheaper, because I'm not dumb. Oh man, dude, I just lost a couple people, that's for sure. What was I saying? Oh, I always told my wife that, like, I'm kind of cheap, like, so I try to save money where I can. And I think the same goes for, like, I try to use as much of something as I can. So when it comes to like drinks, like sodas and like monsters and stuff, I will drink every single little bit. I don't care if it's warm. Maybe I forgot about it and it's sitting out for a little bit. I have to drink the rest of it before I throw it in the garbage. Like, it has to be done. Which weirdly does not transfer over to vegetables. I will buy way too much vegetable. Like, I'll buy a whole head of cabbage and not use that whole head of cabbage, and that head of cabbage will rot in my fridge. Because I also have ADHD, and I will forget to throw. I will see that cabbage every morning when I'm making my wife egg sandwiches, and I will never throw it away until there's like, it's like dookie brown. Which brings us full circle back to the dookie brown cargo pants. I think in my little Mexican brain, I thought, I got all these pockets. Like, what am I not gonna put stuff in these pockets? So I would load anytime I wore like cargo pants or cargo shorts. You best believe I was loaded up, dude. And the left side, I usually had like a snack or something, like maybe some Ritz crackers that I put inside of a Ziploc bag. Like, dude, legitimately, sometimes you could, if you kicked my leg, it would be like that scene in Napoleon Dynamite. Which, if you're too young to watch Napoleon, like if you haven't seen Napoleon Dynamite because you're too young and that's like not a movie for your generation, like I'm not saying like you like Napoleon Dynamite is too mature for you. I am saying if you are so young that Napoleon Dynamite isn't even on your radar, I feel bad for you. I feel bad for you, and you should go ask your parents to have you earlier. Go tell them. You need to make a time machine and have me earlier so I can watch Nacho Libre and Napoleon Dynamite. But if you kicked my side, you would legit, it would be the scene in Napoleon Dynamite, because I, on a regular basis, I had like nuts, I had like crackers, you know, those ugly little cheese crackers that people would get for like a dollar at the vending machines, or like it'd be like a dollar for 50 packs of those cheese crackers at Walmart. It's like a dollar 50, you get 12 packs of six crackers. It was ridiculous. I don't know how they were making a profit, but you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been to a cheap person's house, or you know, a church that didn't have a whole lot of money and it was snack time, you ate those crackers at some point. They'd make your they it, they would soak every ounce of liquid out of your mouth, and then you'd need water, but they only had Kool-Aid, and the Kool-Aid was way too sweet because we didn't know how to make Kool-Aid. And also the recipe on the back of the Kool-Aid thing was just like have you ever followed the recipe on the back of the Kool-Aid thing? It's disgusting. It tastes like water with a little bit of Kool-Aid in it, man. I don't want to taste the water in my Kool-Aid. I don't want to, dude, just give me the powder. But yeah, like I had stuff loaded, and like that was one pocket. I would always have like a snack in one pocket. And the other, like I'd have like, I didn't have a cell phone growing up until I was like, I think I want to say like at some point in middle school or high school. So normally what I did have was my Zune, which was a gigantic piece of machinery. Zune, greatest MP3 player of all time. Awesome software, perfect. Gone now. Gone. That thing is with the ghosts, dude. That thing is gone. But yeah, I would have my Zune in the other pocket, which was enormous. Brick of an MP3 player, because it was like an action. It was literally just a hard drive with a screen on it. That's all it was. We carry around portable hard drives smaller than my Zune now. And then in the cargo pocket underneath my normal pocket, which is where my Zune was, in the cargo pocket, I would have a pair of headphones. I'm not even joking, because I don't like wearing the headphones around my neck. So I put them in my pocket, and cargo pants, especially cargo pants that weren't bought specifically for you, cargo pants that were hand-me-downed to you, which is why I was wearing dookie brown cargo pants, because they were my favorite pants. They were dark, they were cold, they kept me nice and cool, which doesn't make sense like scientifically with the color and everything. But in these cargo pants, I would care. They were big enough to where I could fit in an entire set of Sony headphones that I bought. And dude, these headphones were a solid $20. And I thought they were like, when I bought them, I was like, I'm an audiophile. I was so proud of myself. I did probably 7 months of research on headphones. And then I landed on a $20 set of Sony headphones because I was, when I realized what headphones I wanted, I probably got to a point where I was like, oh, I need some Bose or some Sennheiser. And then I was just like, oh, right, but I'm 14 and poor. So what if we went with like $20 Sonys that I could just pick up at Walmart? But then I Googled and Sony had a red pair. And let me tell you this. If you know one thing about Benji, Papa gonna color. I'm gonna get color because I had no idea. You know, nowadays everything I get is basically black because it goes with anything I wear. So if I have like, you know, some it's like blacks or dark blues because it goes with anything I wear. And I still don't care, you know, about matching, but at the same time, like, it's easier to go through my life and just, you know, put stuff together. And then I look hot, dude. I'm out here wearing dark blue and I look hot, bro. Dude. But yeah, I would have headphones in that pocket. And then I didn't have keys, but I wanted to be cool and have keys. So in my left side, like normal pocket, I would have, I'm pretty sure if I'm correct, it was a lanyard, which was probably my school lanyard, because back in the day, you know, you had to have identification to get inside of a middle school. And if you didn't, they would arrest you and put you in a special room in the bottom of the middle school where they would get a little, it was like a dowel, like a little art dowel for like pottery. And like, I think it's a stick. It's a like balsa wood stick. And they would take you down to this room in the basement of the school. And they would just like, and they'd be whipping you. They'd be whipping you right on your tuchus, until it was red. And then once you were crying, they would tell you to stop crying, and if you did stop crying, then they would let you you know, have a rest. They would take a photo of you when you were crying and then print you a new ID. And then they would charge your mom $5 when she got to the school. So yeah, I don't know if they still do ID. I don't know if they still do IDs. Was that not a normal experience for anybody else? Comment or tweet me if you're a middle school who whipped you with a pottery dowel when you were in middle school for forgetting your ID. Yeah. But yes, sorry, the cargo pants. I keep getting off track. The cargo pants were full. They were full. So imagine this kid, a little pudgy, because I was always a little pudgy, still am. Polo shirt, no Riz whatsoever. Flat top some of the times, because my dad made me get a flat top. I think my dad saw like a couple war movies, and he saw their heads and was like, my son's going to have that haircut. Little did he know, or I don't think he expected his son to be this really dorky, not at all like buff, round-faced, soft boy Mexican. And so it just looked really out of place. It looked really bad. And I hated that flat top with all my life, but I also didn't know like what my hair was supposed to look like. Like, what was I supposed to do with my hair? And like Mexican kids have this weird thing with their hair where it just like sticks straight out for some reason. It doesn't, you know, flow or you know, get combed off to the side nicely or anything like that. It like pokes straight out. It's like I'm Pinhead. My hair was made of pins just sticking like in every direction. There's no specific direction that it would go. We were literally, it was like we were bred to be like hair like trainer. People like the, you know, the mannequins that they have and like the hairs just on it and like, oh hey, here's we just all have like this mexi fro. It's weird. I don't like it. And then it isn't until you grow up that your hair just starts to like fall, like it start not fall off, but like it starts to like weigh down and like look better and have waves and whatnot. But for some reason, when we're children, like it's just, that's why little Mexicans have their hair so short. It's because unless you let it grow long, there's this like super long weird period where you can't do anything with it. If you ever seen a photo or a video of a kid, a little Mexican boy who has his hair nice and like, you know, combed over to the side or anything like that, look closely, because there's about 40 pounds of like gel in their hair. There's a reason why we have to use moco de gorila to style our hair. It's because moco de gorila is super glue, and we need super glue to keep our hair from just sticking straight out. I mean, straight out. It's like you're trying to do a VFX character and you're just right at the start of it. It's just sticking all the way straight out. So you gotta cut it short, do something weird with it. And my dad, he went, you know what? I want my kid to look like that guy from Apocalypse Now. I don't know where he got the flat top from. I don't know why, but I had a flat top for a long, long time in like the 2000s. So this wasn't even like 80s when flat tops were cool, because I'm young and I'm beautiful. So this was like the 2000s. Man, so imagine that, sorry, the polo, no riz, flat top, chubby little cheeks, soft chubby little cheeks, mind you. I had very soft skin, still do. I'm a beautiful person. And then you look down at the cargo pants and every single pocket is just bulging. Like, the pockets can't even close because there's so much stuff inside of them. You can see the zoom and the like hard 90 degree. And keep in mind, I wore these pants a lot. So the zoom has made like color of the brown is faded on the corners of the zoom. So there's this like white outline of my zoom on my pocket. And then on the other pocket is just this lanyard sticking out, because I thought that was cool, and just jingling ID with like something else inside of that pocket. And then in the other side, I'm like, I have this is something I did a lot too. I had the Ziploc bag open and like up out of the pocket so I could reach in and just grab like a goldfish or something. So you could see that Ziploc bag. I don't know why anybody didn't tell me about any of this, like to not do this stuff or anything like that. The Ziploc bag was like a hit or miss. Like sometimes I would, sometimes I wouldn't, but there was always something in there. And I don't know, dude, I looked like a terrorist. I looked like I had bombs on me. So yeah, I don't know why I went on such a long tangent about my dookie brown cargo pants. But we're vibing, baby. We're chilling. You thought you were gonna talk about movies? Nah, baby. This is a fashion podcast now. Nah, baby. Welcome to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. This whole podcast. If you haven't figured it out by now, this whole podcast makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Like zero. I can talk about, here's the thing about it. You know whose microphone this is? It's mine. Yeah. Do you know whose computer setup this is? Oh, that's right. It's mine too. Wait, what is this studio that we're recording? Oh, it's not a studio. It's my apartment. You know, it's my apartment. So do you know in all that, all those details, whose podcast would you say, that's right, it's mine, and I can do whatever the hell I want, okay? If I want to talk about dookie brown cargo pants for the rest of the episode, I can do it, okay? Great thing about dookie brown cargo pants is that nobody can tell when you dookie yourself. Nobody can tell when you poop your pants because you're 14 years old. Oh, man. We had a lot of bad stuff when I was growing up, too. So, like, duking yourself was a very high, like, you were at high risk as a little Mexican boy. You were, which I think I was also lactose intolerant. I don't think I ever knew this, but like, now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, huh, I was duking my pants quite a bit growing up. I was, I had some stuff definitely that I probably shouldn't have been eating when I was younger. So yeah. Now, I guess I should talk a little bit about a movies, idiot. that got rough. So yeah, I guess I think I did a little bit at the beginning. Listen, I'll tell you what I've been watching. Everything. I'm at a point right now where I'm starting to run out of TV shows and movies to watch. So I have been watching everything. Every little thing that you can think of. Every streaming station. I don't care. Except Paramount, because I will not pay for that. Oh, the new iCarly. Piss off, mate. Piss off, mate. Nobody wants to watch iCarly. Okay? Make a new show. How about that, innit? Make a new show. How about this? You come to me with something actually original and I'll pay for your subscription. I don't even pay for Hulu, mate. Hulu is $6 a month and I don't even pay for that, mate. I watched Shazam 2, The Fury of the Gods. I thought it was okay. I liked it more than a lot of other DC movies. I thought it was fine. Shazam has always been very kind of like cringy because it's a child in a grown man's body, and so it's just a grown man speaking like a child. So he's like, fam, which for me at least does not pan out. I was not okay with that, because like, I guess I'm talking about Shazam. This episode is going to be called Dookie Brown Cargo Pants for obvious reasons, but I guess I'm going to talk about Shazam at the last 4 or 5 minutes of it. So if you haven't seen Shazam 2, or Shazam Fury of the Gods, I will not call it that. That name is too long. Go back, do it again. It's about this guy, his name is Shazam. And it's the second movie about him. Dude, my cat is going insane. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but she's going nuts and I'm sorry. Yo, relax. It's like actually messing with my brain. Like my brain is slowing down every single time that she does it. So Shazam 2, sorry, I'm getting so distracted. Shazam 2, it's Billy Batson again. And this time his whole family has powers, because if you haven't seen the first one, spoilers, they all get powers and they're all like a squad now. But then there's these like Greek goddess people. And they come over. There's this chick from West Side Story, and she's like into one of the guys, but not into the one of the guys. But she's like 6,000 years old, which is like super kind of like, you're still 6,000 years old. Like, maybe you shouldn't be kissing 15-year-olds, huh? Or 17-year-olds, huh? And so that was a little off, but not really, because also, she looks like she's 25. Am I the only one who thinks that we're starting to cast these kids a little old now? I feel like we went to a point where we were casting kids a little young. And now it's like, how old are these people? How old are these people? I used to live in a world where like, oh yeah, like, we're making a show about like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I have no clue. People who are old look way young now. And people who are young look way old now. So I can't even tell. But then for some reason, like a senior in high school looks like they look like they're ready for their 401k. A freshman, even a sophomore in high school, they look like babies. They look like they just came out of the freaking middle school, son. Which, I mean, some of them kind of actually just did, but they look like they're in middle school. You could bring a 16-year-old up to me. I'd be like, that, yeah, that's a child. What are you talking about? That is a seventh grader. And they're like, nope, this person works at McDonald's. The other day, actually, I went to some chicken joint. And I went there, and there was like a child serving me my meal. And I looked at them. I looked down at them because they're short and tiny, like a little Oompa Loompa. And I looked at them, and I said, "You like it here?" And they go,
"Yeah, it's kind of cool."
I'm like, "What? You work here? Bro, you should be playing Fortnite, son. What are you doing here?" I remember having a job when I was younger, but I looked a lot older than that. I'll tell you that right now. I looked a lot older than that, you know? I was dating chicks in my 17-year-olds, and people were like, "Is this your daughter?" And I'm like, "Dude, that's rude." I'm joking. I did start growing a little bit of a beard, and I had my hair decently long in like senior year of high school, though. So I did look way old. I still do now. I feel like way older than I actually am. But I'm beautiful, baby. That's just why, dude. I got gray hairs coming in. I'm a silver fox, baby. You guys are all gonna be over there worrying about your pecs that you've worked so hard on. Me? Nah, I've set the precedent. Take a good look at me, girl. What you see is what you get, baby. I'm gonna look like this for the rest of my life, son. I'm gorgeous. anyway, Shazam. Anyway, Shazam. It was good. I mean, like I said, my biggest grief about it was that like the jokes hit. It's entertaining. It's good to watch with your kids and whatnot. But my biggest grief is that like Billy is a eccentric child, which, hey, we barely saw Billy in this movie, which I don't think is the way it should be. I think Billy himself should have been a much more main character than Shazam was, but for some reason it's mainly Chuck. He's mainly in Chuck form throughout the movie, which, I mean, like, hey man, this 14-year-old kid needs to, or 18-year-old, I don't know how old he is, needs to work, dude. Give him some work. Put him in more scenes. He wasn't in nearly enough scenes. So yeah, like the jokes they hit, but Shazam as a grown man saying things like fam and sick and lit and all that kind of stuff, it's a little cringy. Which, I mean, like, it is. It's just what it is, you know? Why is he 40, by the way, when he turns into Shazam? Like, why does he have to be 40 years old? That doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, moving on. Wonder Woman is in it. If you haven't seen it, I really hope that before I started talking about this, you should have known that there's going to be spoilers. Movie's been out for like 7 months. Wonder Woman is in it. She makes a cameo, which is pretty insane. Because at the beginning, like, they try to cameo her, and it's like, oh, like, she's not actually in this movie, because they're going to like kill the entire franchise and then restart. Thank you, James Gunn. Thank you for saving DC from itself. Let's go. Also, stop making Peacemaker. It's fine. I'm joking. I liked Peacemaker, but again, it was fine. It was fine. It was okay. It was good. I liked it. Okay. But it was fine. Suicide Squad was better. Yeah. Wonder Woman makes an appearance, which is nice. It did definitely feel like just a cop out, though, because spoiler alert right now, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That was your time to turn it off. Billy dies at the end of the movie. He sacrifices his own life for Pakistan. He sacrifices his life, and then he just comes back. So like, hey DC, you're not making any more Shazam movies. What was the point of bringing him back? Do you think that me, like, here's the thing about it. As a child, if I were a kid nowadays, I'm closing my eyes and I'm imagining being a 17-year-old or even a 14-year-old kid watching Shazam. This kid dies. It's emotional. It's beautiful. You guys did a good job on it. He died. And then I'm thinking to myself, huh, well, death happens. But then you bring him back? Like, do you think I am not capable of understanding the delicateness of human life? Do you think the mortality? Do you think I'm too young to come to terms with my mortality, Warner Brothers? I can handle a character dying. I've done it. I did it with Iron Man. You can't. Which, hey man, if you bring Iron Man back, like, cool, that falls into the multiverse theory. But like, if you bring Iron Man back, I'm all for it. But you got to get out of this rut you're in, Marvel. If you're going to bring Iron Man back, he cannot be your savior to come and save you from yourselves. You need to get good. Marvel, you need to commune with the Lord and Savior before you come back, because you're committing sins, my man. Whoever is in charge of this whole Marvel thing, you got to stop. You got to stop. It might be Feige. It might be Feige, you know, delegating work down to other people. But somebody needs to stop. It's getting insane. I'm about to watch Secret Invasion, so we'll see how that goes. You guys, it looks like you guys actually finally let Samuel L. Jackson act. But you guys need to relax, okay? Okay, you're working on a Daredevil show. And let me tell you right now. Going into this Daredevil show, you need to understand that you're going up against one of the greatest pieces of television history, one of the greatest pieces of art in television history. Daredevil, seasons 1 through 3, was an absolute masterpiece. And if you cannot keep up with that, I'm going to tell you right now, you should cancel that show. Because if you're going to hit this with the Marvel stick of ugly, which you have been hitting everything with the Marvel stick of ugly, then honey, you gotta just relax, calm down, sell your assets, let somebody else take it over. Dude, let A24 do Daredevil. We should start letting A24 do a lot of things. You know what this could, do you know, okay, take Doctor Strange for, because that's the one that I can think of right now. Doctor Strange, both movies, cool, sick movies. If you didn't like the second one, you're an idiot. And that's just, you moron. Huh? How about that? Oh, I didn't like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness because it was too weird. Nice. Thanks for just I want to ask you, how does Disney's butt cheek taste? Cause you're kissing it hard. You're the problem. You're the reason why they give us all this garbage, just because we eat it. You little raccoon, you're just eating the garbage that Disney's pushing out to you. It wasn't good, and you know it. None of it has been. What if? Masterpiece. Loki, masterpiece. Miss Marvel, Disney Channel. Or, I think it was Miss Marvel. Disney Channel. Which, I mean, I get it. It's not made for me. Cool. That's cool. That's why I didn't say anything about it. It's not my cup of tea, but also it wasn't made for me. It wasn't made to be my cup of tea. But Daredevil, a blind lawyer who goes through into the darkness of the night, destroying criminals in New York for the goodness of Hell's Kitchen. He dresses up as Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub himself. I don't know if those are different people. He dresses up as the devil himself to go fight crime. Oh yeah, I'm thinking that's for me, baby. So if you screw it up, I'm gonna burn buildings. And that's arson, baby. What was I talking about? DC Shazam was fine. It was good. I liked it. It was entertaining to watch if I was a younger person. It was definitely better than Black Adam. I'll tell you that. Black Adam had some like visually really cool stuff, which I loved. So like it was kind of like Avatar: The Way of Water. I went for the visuals. But then when I walked out of it, I was like, what was that about? Which Avatar: The Way of Water, like, hey man, that movie is way too long. I watched it recently on streaming because I haven't, they did, or at least when I watched it, they didn't release the Blu-ray because it took them 7 months to release the Blu-ray. But yeah, way too long of a movie. I was telling my in-laws the other day, I was watching the movie, and about 40 minutes into the movie is when we get to the water. And I was like, wait, what? This is, what do you mean? I've been watching this movie for an hour. We're just now getting to the premise? We're just now getting to the, through the setup? Huh? It was a lot. I've talked a lot about a lot of different movies today. Shazam was good. Watch it with your kids. I think that's the main vibe to it. Wonder Woman was cool in it. I mean, it was kind of like I said, it was a cop out. You should have just left him dead. It was a really, really well executed death. And then they just washed it away. I was like, okay, can I get a lollipop since you're going to treat me like a child? Can I get a lollipop because you're treating me like an absolute baby right now? Oh, got it. I can't handle death for a fictional character. Sick. There was this part where, because there's this whole, like, they didn't play with the whole Rosa and Billy relationship thing as much as I wanted them to. I thought that was a really compelling and interesting thing that they put in the movie. And then they just, like, played on it a couple times. But the second time that they did, which is when he's about to go fight crime by himself, or fight the chicks by himself, the mega chicks by himself, the super mega titan sister chicks by himself. Him and Rosa, which Rosa is his foster mom, they have a really emotional moment, and she's like telling him that, like, oh, you're my son, all that kind of stuff. You'll never age out of home because he was afraid of aging out at 18, and they'll, like, kick him out, which is dumb. Like, I didn't get that vibe from them whatsoever. I mean, they have 7 children, Billy. Do you really think that they're the kind to just get rid of one? Like, come on, bro. So yeah, I loved that. It made me cry. It made me cry a little bit. I thought that was a beautiful moment, which is strange that, like, certain people, like directors or writers wise, they're able to produce really, really, like, it was an excellent scene, or at least an excellent dialogue between the two of them. And it was something that I really felt like I needed it for the characters. And then 40-year-old Shazam came back out, and I was like, oh, cool, he's back, cool. Like, we play a lot with the whole, like, oh, he's a grown man who acts like a 14-year-old because he is a 14-year-old, and he doesn't know how to be a superhero because he's a 14-year-old, which I keep calling him 14, but he's like 17 in this one, or yeah, 17 in this one. But I think what we don't play around with enough, I don't think they did it in the Shazam, the first one or the second one, is the emotional side to a teenager. Like, there is, like, teenagers are, I mean, it's the reason why emo music is so popular, but teenagers are deeply emotional people. Like, when you see a teenager who's very nonchalant or, you know, standoffish about their emotions, like, that's not, if you take it at face value, yeah, they seem like heartless, cruel little people. And like, especially with the jokes that we tell, like, we made in hella jokes about that submarine, man. We're still making jokes about that submarine, dude. We're all going to hell because of the jokes we made about that submarine. I'm guilty of it, dude. But we make jokes like that and stuff. And, like, people can see, like, they can look at us and be like, oh, you're heartless. But, like, especially with teenagers, teenagers are even worse. Like, they make insane jokes. But that's actually, like, a huge indicator that, like, these teenagers are deeply, deeply emotional people. But the problem is that they're not in touch with those emotions, and they can be either afraid or they can be discouraged to be in touch with those emotions. Which I think is something that, like, that scene with Rosa and Billy kind of touched on, with his, like, fear of being kicked out, and then Rosa's reassurance of him, like, oh, no, Billy, like, you're my son. Like, clearly that was something he did understand, and I wish they would have played on that a little bit more. But at the same time, it's a superhero movie, so, like, why the hell would which is what I'm saying. I think we should let A24 do I think we should let A24 do superhero movies. We should outsource Doctor Strange movies, and like I want to see them do some crazy stuff with the Marvel or DC like properties. I think A24 has like, it's not necessarily the studio, because obviously like the studio just doesn't touch anything and it makes it gold, but the studio, like they work very often with like a lot of the same people and a lot of the same directors, and I think that their like roster of people that they work with and like just kind of like people who they seek to work with, like they're goated, dude. Like they have it in the bag. Like they like, I don't know, like for instance, in the same year we got the Multiverse of Madness movie, we got the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, or not Into the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man No Way Home movie, which are two big, gigantic multiverse movies, like humongous. And then on one end, or there on the other end, we have A24 with the Daniels, who previously just did Swiss Army Man, which was a goofy movie. But here are these two, for the most part, smaller directors. And here they are making this movie that is rivaling, not even just rivaling, like absolutely buries the other two biggest multiverse movies of the year. Like, in my opinion, like, and not even in the sense of like, oh, it's just like much more well done. Because I mean, when it comes to A24 movies, like they're a different genre completely. Like they're, you can't compare movies like Hereditary to like The Conjuring, because they're a different like genre in to some extent. But when it comes to like Everything Everywhere All at Once versus like the Marvel multiverse movies, those are like Everything Everywhere All at Once does have a very kind of almost superhero-y feel, but it's even better because it's less than a superhero. It is an average like laundry, you know, owner, you know, immigrant family story. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's this average, like sort of, you know, struggle. Like, and that's the other thing is like, for some reason, we're so afraid to like, let people actually like show people actually struggling, in movies. And in Everything Everywhere All at Once, like it's a family that you can see that they are on the edge, like they are living at the edge. And then all of this crazy stuff happens in their life, and it feels massive. And I think it's incredible what A24 and, you know, mainly, you know, probably the Daniels were able to do when they have that freedom. And I think that's one of the things that Marvel thinks, or Disney and Marvel thinks that they need to control, is they need to control that creative freedom enough to where they can create like one cohesive like universe, which to an extent makes sense. I mean, you're trying to make a multiverse here, but on the other hand, like, isn't like some of your best movies were the best, and they were revolutionary in your franchise because they were different. Iron Man obviously was like incredible because of the fact that it was like the first, like it felt like Iron Man and Iron Man 2, those are like those are still like some of the best Marvel movies out there, because they felt different. Like it was different from what we were getting as far as superhero movies at the time. It felt edgy. It felt cool. You know, obviously that was pre, you know, Marvel Studios. But then, you know, once we got the whole like, you know, mashup of everything, Captain America, the Winter Soldier felt really, really unique at the time. It was really cool. And we were just fresh off of John Wick. So like kind of focusing more on like the combat side of it felt very tangible and awesome, which is why it felt unique. And then on the other hand, like James Gunn comes in, brings us Guardians of the Galaxy, which felt unique in its own right. And then Taika doing Thor Ragnarok, that felt completely different from anything we've seen in the Marvel. Same thing with Doctor Strange, same thing with Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. It's because when you give these creators, these directors and like these writers, their freedom, like give them guidelines to, you know, like, oh, hey, here are the, you know, key things that we want to make sure are the same, because we need to make the overall story work. Which, I mean, it was working back then, but like now it feels like they are just overbearing to the point that it doesn't even matter which director you choose, because they're all going to feel the same. Which I think is the issue that we're having now, is they are going for this almost YouTube-esque, like, pump out the same kind of thing, pump out the, like, they have a formula and they want to stick to it. But the thing they don't understand is we, as viewers, we enjoy, like, even subconsciously, we enjoy challenge and change. We enjoy something to wrestle with. Like, did I like that? That was different. Like, did I enjoy that? So yeah, I think Disney and Marvel are way, way in their own heads, and they are overbearing as far as like control wise. And I think they're stopping themselves from being able to create a lot of really beautiful, like, beautiful content. They have a lot of characters that they can play around with that I'm excited for, but at the same time, like, my excitement is being killed by just kind of seeing the direction that Disney wants to go. The Hulk's son was something out of Fast and Furious, dude. So I don't know what that was in She-Hulk. The Hulk has a son at the end of it. Spoilers. But I don't know where the hell that came from. But that dude's got Riz for some reason. He's green and he has Riz. What the hell are you doing, Marvel? Why does he got a fade, dude? Dude, remember when remember when the Hulk didn't even have pants? Like, he just had like these purple boxers that he bought on Amazon. Come on, dude. You need to get back in touch with yourself. All right, guys, that's it, because that's almost an hour. I talked half of it about my Dookie Brown cargo pants, so we're just gonna call it there. I love you all. You're beautiful people. Not as beautiful as me, though. Share this podcast with your mom. Share this podcast with your friends. You know, tweet me. If you think anything I'm wrong, anything that I talk about is I'm wrong about, tweet me. I don't care. Tweet me while you still can, because I don't know if I'm going to be on Twitter for much longer. I hate this app. Tweet me. We can talk about it. Or if you want to be on the podcast, go for it. I can have you on. But yeah, just be chill, baby. Just be chill. Ain't nothing to worry about. I'm chilling. I'm doing my thing. I'm just enjoying the life here down under. Terrible. I'm telling you, terrible Australian accent. So terrible. Alrighty. I'll see you guys in the next time. In the future times. Time travel.